Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were out praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. As we come to this familiar part of the birth of Christ, let's open in prayer, shall we? Lord, as I often pray when we come to familiar verses, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts. Lord, help each of us to think of something special this morning from your Spirit, from your words. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. It's impossible to read the Christmas story without talking about angels. It begins and ends with them. The birth of Jesus Christ was so incredible and so earth-shaking that only the angels, God's special messengers from heaven, could be entrusted by God to deliver these mind-boggling messages. No human being could possibly be persuasive enough to get this amazing message across. There's no other event in the Bible that has so many messages from so many angels. If we were to take time to look at all the various appearances of angels in the Bible, we find some similarities. First, angels appear suddenly to ordinary people doing ordinary things. The coming of an angel isn't announced beforehand. When they come bearing the announcement, they often break into our world unexpectedly with messages of immense importance. Second, angels cause people to be afraid. When an angel appears in Scripture, a sense of fear, of wonder is immediate. And for this reason, their first words are often, "Do not be afraid." Third, angels are never to be adored or worshipped. They aren't to be the center of attraction. In Revelation 22, the Apostle John was so overcome by all that he had seen and heard that he wrote, "I fell down to worship at the foot of the angel. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book, worship God.'" And fourth, angels don't stay long. They deliver their message, they do their appointed task, and then they're gone. They don't want the focus to be on them. They want people to worship God. Angels appear suddenly to ordinary people. Angels cause people to be afraid. Angels are never to be worshipped. And angels don't stay long. This morning, we're going to look at four angelic encounters related to the birth of Jesus Christ. In the scripture we just read, we saw the first encounter. Here we saw the announcement by the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, telling him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son, and they would name him John. During his long life, this probably wasn't the first time Zechariah had served in the temple and burnt incense in the holy place. He knew the system. But this time, things didn't go as expected. An angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him, and not surprisingly, Zechariah was startled and was gripped with fear. Who wouldn't be afraid if an angel suddenly appeared right next to you? So the angel comforted him and said those familiar words, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." The angel's announcement that Zechariah and Elizabeth would have a son was an earth-shaking announcement. For Zechariah, as we read in verse 7, said they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. In other words, they were very, very old. The angel then proceeded to describe what kind of person John would be. Basically, he'd be a Nazirite, a man with special restrictions on what to eat, where they went. And as a special person, John would have a special purpose. He was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Even though Zechariah was a religious man, he'd been praying in the temple. This was just too much for him to swallow. He and his wife were old, so he refused to believe, and instead, he doubted the angel's message. And because of his lack of belief, because of his doubts, the angel Gabriel said that Zechariah will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because he did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Zechariah's response to the angel's encounter, he refused to believe, and he doubted the angel's message. But I don't think it's right to leave the story there. We need to see the rest of the story. So look back to Luke chapter 1. Go down to verse 57. Luke chapter 1, begin in verse 57. And when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her faith. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they're going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives with that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosened, and began to speak, praising God. All that the angel Gabriel had prophesied, had promised, had come true. The second angelic encounter is also found in Luke 1, back in verse 26. So look at Luke 1, beginning verse 26. We read, "In the sixth month, Gabriel," or rather, "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary is greatly troubled and at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May it be to me as you have said.' And then the angel left her. Once again, Gabriel suddenly appeared, and this time was Mary, who was greatly troubled. And so we see the same words of comfort. Do not be afraid. Mary then was told that although she was a virgin, she'd become pregnant and would give birth to a son, and she was to give him the name Jesus. As he had done for Zechariah, Gabriel told Mary a little bit about the baby she'd give birth to, that it would be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. Zechariah, he refused to believe and doubted when he heard the angel. But Mary is simply unsure about how all this could happen. So she asked, how would this be since I'm a virgin? Gabriel gave her some more details, but they were still difficult to comprehend. To be fair, this has never happened before. But Mary responded with the heart of a servant and said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary was unsure about how it was all going to work out, but she submitted to God anyway. Mary's response was unsure, but submissive to God. The third angelic encounter is found back in Matthew. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, begin verse 18. Matthew writes, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But if he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph got off easy. God sent him an angel in a dream. Joseph needed some divine intervention after he found out that Mary was pregnant, and he knew that he wasn't the father. His reputation was on the line. For that matter, Mary's life was on the line. What was he going to do? Because he was a righteous man, because he was a good man, he decided to end the engagement as quietly as he could. I suspect Joseph may have spent many sleepless nights wrestling with this problem until he had this dream. This unnamed angel filled in some of the blanks for Joseph. Because it was in a dream, Joseph didn't need to be comforted with the rather familiar words, don't be afraid. Through his messenger, God asked Joseph to raise a child that would not be his. And then Joseph was given a glimpse of the glory of this child as the angel told him that this baby would be the Savior who would fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Joseph immediately accepted the assignment from God and acted on it. We read in verse 24, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home to be his wife. This was Joseph's response. He accepted and he acted on the angel's message. Joseph had two more encounters with angels in the following months. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, you read, when the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Once again, Joseph's response to the angel was to accept the message and to act. A little bit later, verses 19 to 23 in chapter 2,
Joseph had another dream in which he was told by an angel to go back to Israel because Herod had died. In obedience, Matthew records that so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Zechariah refused to believe and doubted. Mary was unsure, but submissive. Joseph accepted and acted. The final angelic encounter is that of the shepherds, which Danielle and David read earlier from Luke chapter 2. We know the story. While the shepherds were quietly going through the evening chores, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Into the darkness of a quiet night in the country came the brightness of the glory of the Lord. I'm sure they must have been rubbing their eyes and shaking their sandals. In fact, the word terrified means more than just a little bit scared. We'll spend more time talking about the shepherds in a couple of weeks. Like Zechariah and like Mary, the angel had to comfort them too. So he said, "Do not be afraid." Instead of being frozen with fear, they needed to hear the message that the angel brought them. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." As the shepherds are trying to slow down their beating hearts to digest the message they heard, they were shocked again when suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God. The word "suddenly" means that the heavenly host, God's army, came unexpectedly and without warning. And after witnessing this incredible demonstration of adoration and praise, the shepherds knew what they had to do. So when the angels left them and went back into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. There was no delay. The shepherds believed the angels and went immediately to Bethlehem. And after they saw the baby, Luke 2 verse 17 says that when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The shepherds' response, they believed and then went and told others about the angel's message. So what is your response to the message of Christmas? Are you like Zechariah? Do you doubt and refuse to believe? Others have doubted. But after studying the Bible with an open mind, and there's the magic word, with an open mind, they no longer doubt, but instead believe. Some have written books about their studies. Men like C.S. Lewis, Lee Strobel, Naval Koresh. If you doubt, if you refuse to believe, I would challenge you to take the Bible and read it. Study God's word yourself. Don't rely on the hearsay of what others say is there. Is your response like Mary's? A little bit uncertain, but ready to submit. Mary wasn't sure about everything, but she submitted anyway. In Luke 2, verse 11, the angel told her, "A Savior is born to you." Like it was for Mary and for the shepherds, Christmas must become personal. Have you personally received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, even if you don't understand everything? Christmas is a time for gift giving, and God has given you the greatest gift of all, eternal life in heaven through the life and death and resurrection of His Son. But a gift is not of any good or of any use until it's opened and accepted. So have you opened your heart to Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Or are you like Joseph? Are you ready to accept and then to act? Joseph is a good example of someone who put feet to his faith. What is God asking you to do right now? No matter how difficult it is, if God is telling you to do it, that's what you must do. You need to accept and to act on God's word, on God's directions. Finally, are you like the shepherds? Do you believe? And do you tell others the good news? 2,000 years later, after the shepherds, after the birth of Jesus Christ, we are called to believe and then called to tell others, just like the angels and then the shepherds did. This is our prime directive. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, begin in verse 19. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, begin in verse 19. Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The shepherds, after they had seen the Savior, went and told others the Christmas story. Now we are the messengers of the manger story, the Christmas story. Who can you point to the Savior this Christmas, this season? Let's pray. Father, most, if not all, the people in here have believed and have accepted you as Lord and Savior. Lord, some are in the place of Mary. They don't understand everything, but they've submitted. Lord, we can't understand everything about you. We're not God. But help us, Lord, like Mary, to submit to what you would have us to do. Help us to be like Joseph. Lord, help us to accept your words and then to act on them, to do what you'd have us to do. Like the shepherds, Lord, as we believe, help us to go out and share the good news with others, to share the gospel, how one can be sure that when one leaves this earth, where one will spend eternity. Lord, give us the wisdom to stand tall for you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.